Hey, welcome to the Monkey House Primates.
So, thanks so much. I've asked around here to quickly let you all know that we're in Sydney. We're about to be in Brisbane. So very quick stop in Sydney. We're just here for a few nights. So come and see us. And then what are we doing?
We're going up to Brisbane. We're going to do a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart at Good Chat. And we're also doing a couple of Dryers, our comedy festival show. It's the last run of the whole tour. So come on down, Brisbane.
That's right. And in Sydney, we're at the Manning Bar and at the Chippo for the Who Knew It. Really pumped up. Hopefully see you all there. Now on with the show. Ook ook. What is that? What the monkey say?
Yeah, ooga chacha.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and I'm joined, as always, by the official second banana of the show. It's the host of the Jiminy James gaming show. It's Evan Munro-Smith. Welcome, Evan.
Hey, it's good to be here.
It is good to be back. Are you enjoying doing these recaps?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the show more the second time around.
I'm enjoying it just as much, but I'm watching it as if I'm seeing it for the first time. There's little bits and pieces that where I'm like, oh no, I know this bit's coming up. It's going to make me feel sad or happy or whatever. So they don't quite have as big of an impact, but
I had completely forgotten pretty much everything.
Oh, perfect.
Because I watched in my initial watch, I think I got it to episode 4 and I guess it just didn't quite, you know, hook me enough. But I have had vague recollections of like, oh, there's an action scene here. I remember this. Yeah. But certainly nothing about characters or plot beats. So, yeah, I'm having a good time watching it again.
Oh, that's good. I guess we haven't even mentioned what the show is we're talking about. We're talking about The Umbrella Academy, a Netflix show based on the comic books of Gerard Way. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. The guy from My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
And you were just saying before that every time his name comes up, that throws you a bit.
I just don't associate him with anything other than Black emo Parades. Music, I guess. Yeah, Black Parades.
So this week we're talking about season 1, episode 3, which is called Extraordinary. And I've got a plot synopsis here from umbrellaacademy.fandom.com.
Fandom is great.
We've been trying a few out the first few episodes, but I think this might be the one. This really just goes through it pretty emotionless and just says, this happens, and we'll bring the emotion.
Oh, okay. Okay?
We don't need the emotion pre-written. We've got emotion coming out of our ears.
Is that what that is?
Oh, that's some sort of... Is it pus? Pus-formed emotions.
That's gross.
Sorry. Okay, so the episode is called Extraordinary, initially airing on February the 15th, 2019. Uh-huh. And the plot goes like this. Do you want to just get straight in?
Yeah, let's do it.
So 5 years ago, Vanya... do we need to recap at all? So there's it's a superhero family... an eccentric, I call him an eccentric billionaire called Mr. Hargraves. He sort of buys 7 children who were born out of nowhere and they all turn out to be superhero magic type people. And he's numbered them 1 to 7, 1 being Luther, the muscle man. Oh, let me test you, Evan, because I was about to not remember the next one.
Oh, okay.
Who's number 2? What does he do? Number 1's a muscle man called Luther.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Is number two Diego?
Number two is Diego, yes.
Okay. And he's a vigilante who's good with knives. I'm not exactly sure what his power is. He's agile?
I think that's his power. Like, he throws a knife and it can go around corners. It can.
Oh, right. Okay.
No matter where they are, his knives will find the target. I think that's his power.
Yeah, right. And have we seen that, or has that just kind of been alluded to so far?
I think we've seen it, or maybe you were just like, wow, he's very good at throwing knives, but really do go around corners and swerve in ways they shouldn't.
Right, okay.
And he's
They haven't done the overt sort of slow motion sequence of a blade turning a corner.
Yeah. I think they've been pretty close to that, but.
Oh, okay. I just haven't noticed. So who's number three?
That's what
I know
I
who they all are, but I'm not sure what their numbers are.
I'm pretty sure number four is Klaus, who can see dead people.
Yeah. Is it Allison then is number four?
Allison might be number three, and she
three.
Has heard a rumor.
Yes. So her power is that she can sort of whisper to people and make them do things?
Yes.
Cool.
If she says, I heard a rumor, and then whatever she says next, that is what they'll do. It's basically she casts a spell on you.
Yeah, what a strange power. And I wonder how long it took them to work out that was her power and that's how it worked.
And she is number three.
Okay, great.
Allison Hargraves, aka the rumor. Oh, they've all got a second name. So Luther is number one, aka Space Boy.
You mean third names? Now we've got numbers.
Yes, third names.
They've got a number, and then a first name, and then a second name.
Number two is Diego, a.k.a. the Kraken. Allison is number three, a.k.a. the Rumor. Then number four is Klaus, the Seance, who can see dead people. He's mm-hmm. Haley Joel Osment, all grown up.
Yep.
Then you got number five, who we know. He's just the boy.
And he's just called Five, yep.
And he's called Five.
And he can teleport and travel through time.
Yes.
And he's also, I guess he's super smart. I don't know if it's a super skill that he has or if he's just a smart aleck, you know.
And he's been alive for a long time. He's been alive for longer than in the series. So maybe that's part of it because he went into the future and he reckons he's about 48, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
When the rest of them are late 20s. Then number six is the dead guy, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
He's known as the Horror, and he sort of has an octopus monster that comes out of his stomach, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, so I think all we've seen of that is in the first episode in a flashback at the bank robbery. That's all I've seen.
Yeah.
And you just see it through frosted glass. You see the shape of an octopus just sort of wreaking havoc and killing lots of people. Bad guys, obviously.
Yeah, and then finally is number seven, Vanya, aka the White Violin.
Yep.
And she is ordinary, and I guess that's what this episode is titled, Extraordinary, because that is what she is. She's just Vanya.
Yeah.
And it
starts with her writing her controversial book that's sort of been mentioned in the last couple of episodes on her little typewriter.
That's
right.
And we
see like a montage of her family reading the book, including her dad, Sir Reggie,
the
and we see how see them reading it and reacting to it, and obviously none of them are particularly pleased with what she's written in there about her family and her childhood.
And this is 5 years ago, it says in the flashback sequence.
See, I often miss these little text things on because I'll be looking at something else or I'll be writing something down, and then I'll miss that. Oh, this is in the past. I mean, I gathered that was in the past because the book's been referred to before, and Sir Reggie was alive.
And we kind of see how they all react in different ways. So you've got Luther, number one, reads it while he's exercising. He's sort of because he's the muscle man, gym junkie guy.
Yep.
Then Allison, the rumor, she's reads it while having her makeup applied because she's a movie star, which we didn't mention. She's the rumor and also a movie star, number three. Then Diego, number two, uses the photo of Vanya on his punching bag and he just uses it to punch. Then you've got Klaus, who's reading it in a group therapy session with his dead brother Ben there looking over his shoulder. And then, yeah, you see Sir Reginald holding the copy. Do you think he's reading it? He's read the inscription.
I don't know. I assumed that he'd read it.
But... Yeah, right. I was assuming he hadn't read it. He just picked it up and put it on the bookshelf to gather dust, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And then we see she's doing a book tour and no one's really turning up and the books are discounted for 50% off all of a sudden. So I think we're meant to feel like the book wasn't super successful, or at least people got over it pretty quickly. Then we jump to the present and Vanya is running late to her orchestra rehearsal. She plays the violin. She arrives at the rehearsal and it's already begun and she tries to take a seat and prepare, making a bit of noise. And she starts apologizing for her lateness and then the conductor comments that he didn't even notice that she wasn't there. That's pretty brutal. Really hammering home how she's just an average, pretty good violinist in an orchestra.
Yeah.
Doesn't that say average Joe to you?
Yeah. I mean, it seemed in the previous episode anyway that she seemed quite good at violin.
Yeah, the start of the first episode, she was hammering out Phantom of the Opera on the violin.
Yeah, I thought maybe that was her superpower, but apparently she's not. She's just pretty good.
Yeah, which seems really great to us.
Yeah,
people who are even less good at violin.
Oh, you go on.
I was just going to keep on going on with the thing, or have you got... more to say?
No, I was going to go on to...
Because I'm listening.
No, you go on with the thing. I'm sure it's more eloquent than I am.
At the academy, which is sort of where they grew up, it doubled as their school and their training ground and the eccentric billionaire Hargreaves' mansion.
Yep.
Back at the academy, Allison, the rumor, number three, shows Luther, number one. Should I stop doing the numbers? People know by now, right?
Yeah, the numbers don't mean much to me.
Okay, great. So Allison shows Luther the surveillance tape that appears to show Grace, their mum, who's a robot, being responsible for Sir Reginald's death.
Yeah, so this was the cliffhanger on last week's episode. Because Allison said, Luther, you have to see this. You are right about someone having murdered Sir Reggie. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, of course.
And so now we actually see what it is. And yeah, it looks like... I guess they sort of explain a bit more what's going on later, but it's, as you can see, their mother, Grace, bringing tea to Sir Reggie.
Yes. And then he collapses, and then Grace, who they rarely call Grace, all the kids call her Mum.
Yep.
Wonder how Sir Reginald got his knighthood.
I mean, they do mention he's like an Olympic gold medalist.
That's right.
And he's a billionaire inventor. He's like, he's apparently a pretty amazing guy.
But anyway, he looks like he's been killed by his robot wife.
Yep.
Mother of his paid for children. And you're still maintaining that he's not eccentric?
No, he certainly is. He just doesn't appear to be eccentric.
I forget. He doesn't have a funny hat.
Yeah.
Confused by what they're seeing, this is Luther and Allison, they decide to confront Grace, their mum, the robot. They question her in the kitchen, but she deflects their answers, telling them that she does not recall some of the events from the night Sir Reginald died. It's interesting because they spell it out that she's sort of either blocked them out or she's lying, because they ask her about the day and she gives the weather... the time of the sunrise and all these very specific details. And they say, later when Sir Reginald died, she's like, I don't remember.
Yeah. And then she just makes these perfect looking eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could make eggs like that.
Smiley bacon mouth.
Beautiful eggs.
What a great mum robot.
Yeah. She'd be good to have around.
They ask Grace, Allison and Luther, if she was ever angry with their father, and she tells them that he was a kind man who was very good to her.
Even though we've kind of gleaned by now that he wasn't good to her at all.
Yeah, no.
I think they say later that he treated her the worst of everybody.
Yeah. Didn't even give her a bedroom.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that... What like Yeah, I don't know how where she slept, but I guess she's a robot as well, so that makes
Well, I think, is it sense. The first or the second episode where we see her sort of sitting at the paintings and she sort of plugs into charge?
Oh, right.
I think that's just where she spent the night. That's what was my assumption.
Yeah, right.
So I guess she doesn't really need a bedroom, but...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They're nice offended gesture. By that, but, I mean, that's just their misunderstanding of what an android needs.
Yeah. It's a small house. Where are you going to find...
It's a small mansion.
Set aside a whole room for a robot that can't appreciate it.
Yeah, what a waste.
Just give her a chair.
Just
give her a chair.
So the kids feel good.
Give her some paintings to look at. She'll be fine.
Now we go to Diego, the knife wielding number two. And he runs into Detective Patch, who we already found out that they used to date.
And yeah, I think there's a bit of history there.
And now she just finds him to get in her way a bit. He's the vigilante. She's a legit cop trying to do her job. God damn it. Get out of my way. And then he's like, stop. Oh, go fill out another form, you pencil pusher. I'm going to go actually catch the bad guys. She's like, this is how I get results. None of what you're doing is going to stand up in a court of law. So they had that sort of fight.
But they are both on the same case, basically. They're both trying to... track down Hazel and Cha-Cha, these assassins. They're trying to work out what's going on there.
Who they only really know as bad guys with metal kids' masks.
Yeah, with
a dog
and
a cat or something.
Yeah, it's like the Masked Singer.
Yeah, the Masked Gunman.
Yeah.
So Diego runs into Detective Patch at the department store crime scene, which the last episode finished with a big shootout there between number five and... Cha-Cha and Hazel.
Yeah.
She tells him that the bullet casings match another murder at Ishmael's towing, where Patch found the driver. Oh, Ishmael's towing. That's just a company.
Yeah.
I thought that was the name of some sort of a town on the outskirts. That's why I pronounced towing so strangely.
This is the tow truck driver's workshop or whatever.
That makes sense. That makes way more sense. I watched this a couple of hours ago. So the bullet casings match another murder at Ishmael's towing, where Patch found the driver who was at Gritty's Donuts dead after being tortured. This Gritty's Donuts seems to be like a scene that they keep returning to.
Yeah, because why not? Because donuts are great.
What a massive donut shop. That's like a full restaurant size venue just
for donuts. It is kind of like a diner, except it is just a donut shop.
Yeah. I don't think that's a great business plan. Who's going in to just eat a meal of donuts? A city
meal. It is usually empty as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, it was shot up and now it's fixed.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, I guess that happens, but...
I guess they had good insurance.
Yeah. Go Agnes.
Agnes is the donut lady. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I like her. I remember liking her first time around as well.
Yeah, every time I see her, I'm like, oh, she's going to die.
Oh, really? No.
Although, I don't know. It's just that
It just feels like that. They're making us like her. I hadn't even considered that. Damn it. All right.
I'm scared for her every time I see her.
Yeah, she does seem vulnerable because, I mean, we're going to talk about that in the next one probably, but her friendship grows with Hazel.
Yep.
Or Cha-Cha. I forget which one's which.
Hazel, yes.
Hazel. So Patch, the detective, tells Diego that witnesses saw two people fleeing the scene in kids' masks, which is Hazel and Cha-Cha, and wonders why there is a spate of violence across the city with three major crime scenes in 24 hours. Back to Vanya. After rehearsal... Vanya compliments Helen, the violin first chair, which is like the boss of the violins in the orchestra, it seems. And so they rank them. Isn't that brutal? In an orchestra, they're like, you're the best violinist, you're the second best, you're the least good.
Well, no, I think there is a hierarchy there in an orchestra.
Seems unnecessarily mean. Why can't you just be like, hey, you three are really good violinists, welcome to the orchestra.
Well, look,
let's play some music. Let's have a bit of fun.
Helen is a more experienced violinist, and so she's a higher chair than Vanya.
Yeah, it seems like high school bullshit to me.
And she's better. So Vanya compliments her on her skill. Yes. But then Helen before was sort of off put by Vanya arriving late anyway. So there's a bit of like weirdness between them anyway. But she's pretty brutal. She's like, how many years have you been stuck at third chair to Vanya? Because Vanya says she's been struggling with the piece that they've been playing. And Helen says, at a certain point, it's not about practice. It's about whether you have something special, and maybe you just don't.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal scene.
Yeah, man.
She basically said, maybe it's time to stop being a kid and find something you're actually passionate about. I don't think that was a weird leap. Like, you're not as good as me, so you're not passionate about it. She clearly seems passionate about it.
I guess, but then again, she rocked up late and you know, is struggling with the work. I don't know, maybe she's clearly distracted from it.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see that point of view.
How do you know why she's late? She might have been doing something important. Yeah. Maybe her family's being tracked down by these weird hit people.
Yeah, I guess Helen didn't really think about that.
She didn't think about it. She didn't think the whole way through, did she?
But this,
if this was a scene, Helen would say, I didn't think, and I'd cut her off and I said, that's right, you didn't think.
But this scene, this dialogue in particular, really hammers in this this thing of Vanya not being special.
Yeah.
She literally says, you don't have something special. Even in the thing that she's good at.
Yeah, that would be the roughest thing about it. She's like, ugh, at home, I get it. They've all got superpowers that I don't. But here, I'm pretty good at violin. Not that good. Not good enough.
So then we go to Hazel and Cha-Cha, right? Is that the next bit?
Yeah, so they recover from the fight with Number 5 from the night before at the department store. And a message is sent to them informing them that the failure has resulted in a 7% reduction in pay for their job. Oh, this is something I want to ask you about. So they get messages sent, and I can't remember if this is the first one or if there was one in an earlier episode.
I think there's definitely more coming up.
Maybe this is the first one. So a capsule comes to them in their hotel, cheap motel, rented by the hour. You push these tiles back, they hear a bing. And a tube comes through with a note in it. Now, and then they push it back in, the tiles back in, and it's as if it was never there. So my question is this a magic thing where no matter where they are, there'll be a tube will find its way there, like a Harry Potter sort of level magic message?
I think so.
Or is there the infrastructure that throughout the whole world, every room has a secret portal to this tube thing?
Well, I mean, I don't know. These figures are still very very mysterious to me, Hazel and Cha-Cha. I don't know who they're working for or really what they're doing other than, you know, trying to kill 5, I guess.
And they're working for a bureaucratic organization.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was weird when that happened in the episode. I thought, oh, they must have just in that motel, they must have just had a tube put in.
Right. But that doesn't make much sense, does it? No.
No, well, if I questioned it more at the time, then, there's definitely, it raises that question of do they just have these wherever they go? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think maybe, you know, we talked before about, or you sort of like said how you know from future knowledge that these are time-traveling assassins. Maybe they have some sort of a, you know, warp in the space-time continuum, you know, a bit of a, I don't know, Doctor Strange or something like that, where they can just, you know, the tube appears out of, you know, out of nowhere or whatever, and just wherever they are, maybe.
It's an interesting decision. Like, in the world, it's a bit of fun, and I guess, but the decision, they could have easily, I guess it's a stylistic choice, basically. They could have easily just had a watch that messages come up on from home base.
Yeah.
But they've chosen to do this for whatever reason. I guess it's a bit of fun. They've, you know,
yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's some retro stuff going on. Vanya typing a book on a typewriter and that sort of stuff. I think they
It definitely, the tube thing definitely evokes bureaucracy.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're going for. That makes sense.
Mm.
Cool. All right, so they've got that message. Hazel's pissed off. He's already hates the higher-ups for busting his ass sort of stuff.
Yeah. This is where I noticed that the guy that plays Hazel is the guy that plays Ed Kemper in Mindhunter.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But then there was, yeah, something about his voice. Like, oh, that voice is familiar.
He's very good.
So there you go. He's good very at playing good sociopaths. Both.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he's so good in Mindhunter. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's great in this too.
Outside the academy, we're back to the academy. Klaus?
Klaus. Yes,
he
Santa
searches
Klaus.
Through a dumpster trying to find the stuff he stole from Sir Reginald's office to appease Pogo. Okay, I don't know if we talked about this in the previous episodes, but he's a drug addict, and he it seems like he does that to suppress his ability to see dead people. He doesn't like that that much. So
because he's haunted by all these lost souls.
Yes. So last,
I think we did talk about this. I think we talked about this. The box that had, what did it have in it? It had his dad's diary,
some important book. Yeah,
Sir Reginald's. Yeah, something like that. Which he pawned. No, well, he pawned the box. He threw the stuff away in a dumpster, and he pawned the box to get some money for drugs. So now he's dumpster diving, trying to find these things. Because Pogo had a word with him.
Pogo being the chimp butler.
Yes, the only character we care about.
Yeah. Oh, Luther is an ape man. So it's
that's
one
true,
and a
yeah.
Half.
But we don't know that yet. But we do know that Pogo is a chimpanzee.
Right.
He's not hiding that from anyone.
No, it's right there on his face.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Leaves. They have a little bit of a something while he's dumpster diving. I don't know. This scene was not much. And so Five is going off and he's going to stake out the prosthetics lab.
Yes.
Because of this eye. Remember the eye? This prosthetic
from
eye.
From Meritech Prosthetics.
Yes. And also from the future, apparently.
Yes. Well, that's where he found it, in the apocalyptic scene of the future, which is possibly only 8 days away or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not keeping track of the days in the show, but I feel like it's,
It's coming up quick. And he's the only one who's still really taken that seriously. The rest of them still think he's lost it a bit.
Yeah. Vanya's off playing violin. Other people are going about their lives. Anyway, he's trying to find out who this eye belongs to still. That's just a thing that's going on.
So he drives to Meritech Prosthetics and starts staking it out. He takes his long-term girlfriend, Dolores, who's a mannequin he just picked up from the shop, who she would have no knowledge of him because they had a relationship in the future. Now he's come back. Yep. But she's just going along with it, as mannequins often do.
Yeah, being inanimate objects.
So he takes her out of the bag and apologizes for keeping her in there for so long. See, this is the kind of details that this synopsis is getting into that we just didn't get in previous weeks.
Yeah, we probably need to skip some of those details.
Yeah, I probably, you know, some of those ones I start reading. Oh, I didn't need to do that one.
Luther and Allison are the next bit. They're grappling with whether or not their robot mother could have been responsible for the death of. So Reggie.
Yeah.
And they're also, they're feeling a bit guilty themselves, I think, for leaving her there. They all sort of moved out of home, went on and got on with their lives, but she just stayed with Pogo and Sir Reggie. You know, worried that maybe she wasn't treated very well and didn't really have anyone around to support her or whatever. And there's also a revelation here that Allison so she's divorced, and we found out in the previous episode that she didn't get custody of her daughter. And so it's revealed here that she used her power on her daughter.
Yes. I think we saw that in a flashback where she said, I heard a rumor that you went to sleep. So she used her power because her daughter was struggling to sleep. So she just sort of magicked her to sleep, and then they pan out and her husband's standing in the doorway witnessing it, and obviously that's a bit of a no-no. And I think she said that she hasn't used her power since.
Yeah, right. What do you think of the ethics of that?
Oh, geez, it would be tempting, I imagine. But I guess she knows better than anyone. Are there side effects, or is it if her daughter needed to sleep, maybe that's the best thing? But, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, that's something that, only Allison probably will ever have to worry about that question. And not again, because she lost custody.
Yes, indeed. So I wonder if that's because I'm kind of used to, anyway, the superpowers being something like a secret thing.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not in this case. Everyone kind of knows who these people are. So I imagine this was decided in a family court situation where they're like, you used your powers, and so that's why you can't. That's why you don't have custody.
It sounds like this is sort of more like a Bewitched scenario where her husband Darren just did not want her using her witchcraft at home. I want you to do the chores around the house and not use magic for some reason.
Yeah, why was that?
I'm not sure. I think it was because Darren was an asshole.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. We'll go into more detail on the Bewitched podcast if we do that.
That's coming up
down the track. Too long.
Almost guaranteed to have had chimps on that show.
Yeah. It was big in the 60s.
It was big.
So I think then we go to Vanya, who is kind of dejected after that experience, talking to Helen, basically saying she should give up playing violin. And so she goes to visit her her dreamy new violin student, Leonard. I think is his name.
Yeah, Leonard.
She goes to his woodworking shop.
And you were straight away sus on this guy.
Well, I thought he's a love interest.
Yeah, you said he was a love interest and he made you a bit nervous.
Maybe. I can't remember if I was onto him straight away or not. But I have been genuinely flip-flopping.
Yeah, and they're making us do that. They're making us he's dodgy and then go, oh, no, he was giving her flowers.
Yeah. They're doing a good job at that anyway. So he's made a wooden sculpture of Vanya. He says, you inspire me. He's like the perfect man.
Yeah, but almost, you know, like in a way that's a bit too full on in some
way. Is he too perfect?
But yeah, so, and then we think, I mean, this one ends. Is it this one or the next one that ends with him pouring out her medicine? And we're like, is he dodgy?
Yeah, that's the next episode, I think.
Fuck. Forget I said
not
that.
Not up to that yet. No, he's still the perfect man. And he asks her out to dinner. But then Allison shows up. This is just out on the street. They bump into each other, whatever. Allison, I don't know, just starts to get a little bit suspicious of him, maybe.
Yeah, she seems to have a sense for something being amiss.
Yeah, it's just a bit awkward between the three of them. Hazel is calling Vanya to come back to the house so they can talk about the situation with their mother and what's going on there. We do see, in the meantime, Hazel at the donut shop again.
Loves it there.
He loves it. He says, is there anything better in this world? No, they're great. Donuts are the best. So they're talking to Agnes again. And Agnes reveals that that last detail that she remembers about that whole incident where they shot up her donut shop, where Five had a tattoo, the kid in the donut shop.
That's right.
And which she's is a able weird to thing to remember it. From all of that. She was able to draw. I would not remember that.
And isn't it obviously you just go, oh, what was the tattoo of? And she'd say, oh, an umbrella. But they go, can you draw it? And then so she slowly draws an umbrella. As if she didn't know that was what it was. She's like, a semicircle first, then these squiggly bits.
Yeah.
That's sort of a stick coming down here. Something like you would hold if this was a physical object. But obviously it's not. I don't know what it is. It's just gibberish. It's a doodle.
Anyway, so that's bad news for the Umbrella Academy. But then we go to the family all gathered together at the academy to watch this CCTV footage and work out as a group what they make of it. Diego's a bit of an odd one here because he decides that it was, you know, it probably was nothing. She was just, you know, bringing him tea and she takes off his monocle and takes it away just to clean it. There's nothing suspicious going on there. And he reveals to the group that he actually was the one that took Sir Reggie's monocle. He's had it this whole time, which we knew because we saw it in the, I think, at one, that he had it, which they were using as like a red herring to make us think that maybe he killed Sir Reggie
because
he had the monocle. But no, he took it from his mother's things.
To protect her, he's like, because I knew, Luther, that you would go.
Yeah, that's right.
You would think it meant something and you'd point your finger at Mum, just like you're doing now.
Yeah. Which is a weird, surprisingly forward-thinking thing to do, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then Vanya reminds them that she was programmed to protect the family, and she says she'll intervene if their life is in danger.
Right.
Which then, and then Luther takes that to think that, well, if she's faulty, then she could be dangerous.
Yeah.
And so then there's sort of like debate about whether they need to do something about that. If she's
basically
malfunctioning,
put her down or turn her off.
Yeah.
And there's a vote that goes to a vote, and it's very split. It would be
Even split because five isn't there because there's four of them there.
And the dead guy would vote to kill her, I think.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be heard.
Yep.
So his didn't count and five wasn't there. So that they had a tie, two apiece, and they said, well, we've got to wait till five casts his vote.
And the one time we see Pogo in this episode is him looking down on them from above in this scene, at the end of the scene. Judging them, perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Quietly judging them with his chimpy nature.
As he does.
Going, humans, the lesser apes.
And then there's a bit of a flashback here where it's basically the summary of this flashback is that they're leaving for a mission, the Umbrella Academy, and it's all about Grace being a very caring mother. I think it's just a bit of character development for Grace. You know, helping each of them out.
Helps Dagger with his speech. He's struggling with a stutter and she's coaching him through that. She's zipping up someone's jacket.
Yep.
Ben's jacket's stuck. Just everyone's got a little problem and she fixes it all in a choreographed scene.
Yeah, like kids
scene.
Running off to school and getting all their things ready.
It's very sweet and it makes you go, oh, she's the best mom ever.
Yes. But
obviously apart from my mom.
Yeah, obviously. And,
Evan, you're not going to stick up for your mum?
My mum is great too. Yeah, look, she runs a charity.
Your mum's great
She's...
too. What's this?
Stand
by faint praise there, Evan.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Oh, I wonder why. you should reach out, Evan.
I should.
I think we should stop the podcast now and you should call her.
Look, the podcast is nearly over almost.
Okay. We'll finish this and then call her.
We're only about halfway.
Should we get her in? Call her in.
Maybe. The point of this is that Diego, they're showing that Diego especially has a special connection with Grace.
Yes, he's got the closest connection to Mum.
And he was the one one of the ones that was opposing doing it. He was basically protecting her in that vote.
Yeah.
But then he goes to her after that and tries to sort of talk openly with her about, tried to get her to open up about Sir Reggie, tries to get her to talk about how she was treated and how she really feels, but doesn't really get anywhere with her. She's just, no, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. She's like, I don't need a room. I look at the great views I've got, all these different paintings.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're just paintings. And she's like, yeah, they're nice, aren't they?
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
So
five tracks down the prosthetist.
Is that Lance the guy he finds? He's not the guy who they fake fight in front of him.
No, I think it is. I think it's the same guy.
Yeah, it's weird. So he turns out he's a bit dodgy and he's sort of manufacturing dodgy eyes as well.
Yes. That's correct. I think we haven't gotten to that yet.
We haven't gotten to that yet, but we will.
That's definitely true. And also in the meantime, this is where things turn up a notch in this episode. Hazel and Cha-Cha, because of this, I guess because of this clue of the umbrella tattoo, they track down the academy and they break in. And the interesting thing here is they don't know who they're missing with, apparently. They don't know who the Umbrella Academy is. They don't know who these people are. They're just looking for this kid.
Yes. Yeah, you'd think when the Umbrella Academy tattoo was revealed, they'd be like, oh, shit, it's the Umbrella Academy. Yeah. But they were just like, huh, what does this mean?
I get, which I think is, well, to me anyway, it's just more of an indication that they're not from here.
Yeah.
They're from another time or place or whatever. They don't know who these people are. They're just on a mission to get the boy. Number five. But they fare surprisingly well in this because the bloody Umbrella Academy are there.
Yeah.
Or at least four of them are.
Yeah, number five's not there, the one they're after.
So Klaus
is is there, but he's unaware. He's at a bath.
Yeah.
He's in the bath and we sort of see again that as he's sobering up, the dead people are sort of haunting him in a pretty full-on, also a horror movie kind of way. So he puts on some music to block him out, and then he's unaware for the rest of the fight.
Yeah, even there's a lot of gunshots going off. So it's Allison, Diego, Luther. They're the three that are fighting against.
Vanya's there, but she's sort of just out of the way.
Well, she's nothing special.
That's a good point. Do? She's extra ordinary.
and Cinnamon by Nina Simone plays throughout this fight, which is a great song.
Another great song. The song selections are always really good in this show, I found. But yeah, it's a big fight. And Cha-Cha or Hazel, the man hit guy.
Hazel, yes.
Hazel, him and Luther really go toe-to-toe, and it's just like a heavyweight superhero battle.
Yeah.
It's like two mini Hulks going at it. And they seem like they're pretty evenly matched, which sort of... And I don't think I picked up on this first time around, but it's like he's got to be some sort of a superhero too. Like you said, maybe they were born at that same time like you thought, or they're otherworldly way or something.
Yeah, that little hint that they were after one of their own was something that I was going off there. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe they are some sort. They don't seem, in any other scenes, they don't seem to have any superpowers.
No.
They just seem to be, you know, competent assassins. But in this, it's surprising how they, they go toe to toe with three people with superpowers.
Yeah,
and having said that, Allison doesn't use hers.
No, but she seems to be a very accomplished fighter all the same.
Yeah, yeah, she gives them a run for their money. Diego has, I don't know. I think he underperforms in this fight. He does get someone with a knife, but it's nothing too crazy.
Yeah. That's a flesh wound.
And, pretty evenly matched. And it kind of ends with Cha-Cha dropping a chandelier on Luther, which rips his clothes. And this is kind of the first time that we see him, like, his sort of bare torso or more monkey torso,
I would say ape. That's definitely a gorilla chest. See my
but not
vest.
Bare anyway.
See my vest made from real gorilla chest.
But, yes, very hairy and very... gorilla-like.
Yeah.
And also, it seems that this is the first time that Allison and Vanya have seen this as well.
Yeah, everyone else is shocked, and he's a bit embarrassed by it when his body's revealed and he slinks off to his room without saying anything.
All through this fight as well, Grace is just there humming along, working on a cross stitch, and does nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah, she seems entirely unaware as well.
Yeah, and Diego goes up to her after the fight because he's like, "Oh, Grace, she's here. What? I hope she's okay." Because they've shot up the whole bloody mansion, and notices that she's just completely unaware, and she's doing the cross stitch, and she threads the needle through her hand.
Yeah, multiple times.
Doesn't even notice, and that's where he sort of. He puts her down.
Yeah, he's like, that's when he realizes, maybe it's time. And he opens her arm up and sort of fiddles with her wiring, and that puts her to sleep. And her last word is, Diego, I think.
Remember. Like nothing particularly earth-shattering. Yeah, interesting. So, interesting that I guess she was just faulty, I suppose.
Yeah, well, it's not clear, really, is it? But it just seems like maybe, yeah, something's not quite right anyway.
Especially because they talk about just a few scenes ago talking about how, like, making a point to say that she is programmed to protect them
yes.
if they're in danger.
That's right.
And then clearly, you know, later on, she just is completely unaware of it entirely.
But maybe is there something, and I haven't really thought about this till now, but, you know, her inventor just died a week ago. Is it maybe he does maintenance on her when he was alive and now he's dead? Maybe some of that upkeep's not happening, so that's why she's not quite functioning at optimal levels.
Yeah, she just needs a service.
Maybe.
Or it's just like robot Alzheimer's. She's just getting old.
Okay, yeah. It could be it.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we'll... I'm sure this will all sort of come back at some point with a bit more explanation. And then also in this, the aftermath of this fight, Diego says that Vanya... he sort of gets angry at her for sticking around during the fight.
Yeah.
Because she's not special, as you know, keeps hammering.
He calls her a liability.
Special. Yes.
But not even to Allison. Her. He says that to Allison in front of her. She's a liability. Yeah. It's like, oh man.
But then Allison says to her, she's like, you're not like us or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, hammering in that point.
Which pretty much drives her back into Leonard's arms.
Yes, that's right. On their way out, Hazel and Cha-Cha have captured Klaus.
Yeah, that's the reveal right at the end.
In his bathrobe or whatever. That's where the episode ends with Klaus tied up. Yeah, in a motel with Hazel and Cha-Cha for them to. Have their way with him. Well, no, get information out of him, I think, is what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right. We both just watched the next episode. That's what I think. Maybe recording two at a time is tricky for my small brain because I keep blurring the two episodes together. We might have to start doing them one at a time.
Yeah, we can do that.
But yeah.
No, that's why I've been taking dot point notes because it just totally goes out of my head into a blur.
Yeah, so, I mean, I really like this episode. We have been giving them a banana score. What do you think of this one? How many bananas do you rate it?
Good question. I think probably the same as last one, which I think was 4 out of 5 bananas.
Yep.
It's pretty good. Things are happening. I like donuts, and I like that. Like the guys from Mindhunter. That was a nice little...
He's so good. I think he's great. I love all the actors, all the characters. I just think it's so good. I'm loving it a lot. And I think it's getting better with each episode too.
Yeah, right.
And it's what would you started give it strong. I can't remember what I said last time, so I might contradict myself here. But I normally go out of a bunch of 7. I'm going to say episode 3 is... this is like a 6-point... No, hang on. This is like a 5.7 banana episode.
Good. I feel like you gave the last one 5, but I can't remember.
Okay, 5.2 banana episode. Edging it up.
Got room to move. Yep.
We haven't had any feedback. I finally put the form up. I said I was going to do it on the first episode. I did put it up. No one's used it yet. Why did I spend that 10 minutes... 3 minutes putting it together. But anyway, if you do have any thoughts about the show at all, if you've got any questions for me or Evan about this show or Apes, Monkeys, anything in general, feel free to drop us a line and we'll answer some questions at the end of the episodes. If anyone takes the time, people listening, I wasn't sure because we've had a bit of a break. And then the more people downloaded last week's episodes than our 100th episode, which surprised me.
Wow.
People are back on board, which is nice. But if you want to drop us a line, please do, and we'll answer your questions. It can be about anything, really. Umbrella Academy would be ideal, season 1. And then, you know, then ideally about
episode
Apes,
3. Don't ask us anything about later episodes because...
Oh, no, but...
The spoilers.
Ask us about it. I'll just save those questions for those episodes, you see.
Okay. Yeah, because Matt has already seen them, so they're not spoilers for him.
No, that's right.
They're spoilers for me. Won't,
I've also got it so they can tick the box for which episode they're talking about, and I'll just sort it appropriately.
See, that's
and, clever. And only read
you did
it.
Put work into that.
I did put work in. It probably did take me you 10 minutes. I shouldn't undersell it.
Yeah, you were underselling it.
All right, great. Well, I guess that's about all the time we have here today at Primates. Do drop us a line. Evan, people can see your pretty face at gamygame.com. There's a link.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a link to that in
the think about it for a second.
Show notes. There's hundreds of episodes of that game. Fun, fun game.
I've started streaming on Twitch.
Oh, right. Cool.
Which I hadn't been doing before, but I'm just doing a thing on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just chatting about the week in sort of gaming news, and I might play a few games on there. So,
and what's your handle or whatever?
I think I'm...
Because I know Mark Bonanno is something like Pretty Polite Gamer or something.
A very polite gamer, yeah.
That's all I know. So I know that you got to have one of those. Just to give you context you got to have. That's probably all social media. I don't know why I felt like I needed to explain. I'm not like a Twitch guy who knows everything. I know Mark Bonanno does that.
I am Stupid Old Evan on Twitch.
Cool. And
so you can go find me there.
If you send me a link, I'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, great. Thanks.
And yeah, I put some of your links in the show notes. Send me any links you want to, and I'll put them in the show notes. And mine are in there as well for social media and whatnot. Follow us on there. Talk to us. We're lonely. It's in lockdown here in Melbourne. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Primates. And Evan, as we always say here at Primates Podcast.
You know, you don't have to have superpowers to be a special person.
So beautiful.
Remember that.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.